from our perspective, we're going to see two aspects. This is what I would say, a retrospective aspect and a prospective aspect. Be'echod ba'ador mashmi'in al ashkolot. Talked a little bit about Shabbos. That halacha that the carbon of tzibur starting from Nisan have to be from Truma Chadosha, from newly donated funds. So consequently, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they had to have the new funds available. So you have to start at some point if you're going to get the job done. So Be'echad Ba'ador Mashmi Malashkol. Now, L'chaira, and that I think is borne out by the whole sweep of the Dalit Parshias, it is not only reminiscent of the fact that in the Beis Hamikdash they brought the Truma Chadosh, it's not only that. But what are the final two of the Dalit Parshias? It's Purim and Parshas HaChodesh. In Zohar, it's talking about an event, a tzivui, but when will that commandment be fulfilled? B'Bias HaMashiach. So in effect, what we're saying with the Dalit Parshias is that we are looking forward to Gulos and Shoy Yisrael. Well, these are not just historical relics, but they're actual. They're going to come. Friday morning, the God was going to get up and say, well, everyone has to give today a shekel for the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to happen. It's going to be part of our life. We will succeed finally in eliminating Amalek from the world. To bring the Korban Pesach, the Yochid, not the Tzibur, the Yochid has to be taught. The Tzibur is telling me that you can bring it to Korban Pesach anyhow. But if the Yochid is Tomei and the Tzibur is Tor, he can't participate in the Korban Pesach, right? That's one of the reasons for Pesach Sheni. So before Pesach comes, this was high season, they had a rush on the Paraduma. Everyone, you know, raced down to Yerushalayim and they wanted to undergo the 7-day process of Tahara to become Tor from Tumas Mes, so that they should be able to participate on Erev Pesach or the Korban Pesach. So Pora is the Hachono for Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is the setting aside, the Tzivui, to bring the Korban Pesach. So we're not only reminiscing about the past, but we have a vision of the future. So we look at Parshas Shkolim. There's a message that's attached to Parsha Shkolim from this perspective. And from this perspective, we have to look at the chapters in Melachim Beis, which we read this past Shabbos. And we really have to start a little bit earlier. We started, really, I think, for chapter with the 12th chapter began. That's where we began. Right. Ben Sheva Shonim Yehoyosh B'molchai. That's where we started, Shabbos. But in actuality, the introduction to this parasha is Perek Yud Aleph, which we didn't read, Shabbos. Yeah, I think so. Right. Now, in that part, we read of an awesome story, a horrific story. The descendants of Achav wanted to control the monarchy. And Machiavelli could have learned a few things from them. So what happens is that his son Achazio becomes the melech, and Yehoram, who would be married to Achazio, how did he consolidate his hold on the throne? He assassinated all his brothers. So therefore, that's it. He was left. He was the only survivor of Achab. So there was no one else to vie for the throne. It's a good way to get the job done.
Lavia style.
Lavia style. That's it. You know, the Veld says that Rav Aaron of Belz once said to his father, Rav Yisachar Doiv, he had all sisters and no brothers. He was about 10 years old. So he said to his father that he davens every day he should have a brother. So his father yelled at him, "You're a shaita." He says, "It bothers you that when, you know, you're going to become rebbe without a machlekes." You know, this problem is as old as history in every context. But Yehoram went and he killed all his brothers. Now, Yehu wanted to wipe off all the descendants of Achav when he became the king. So he decided to kill as many, whoever he could, and he kills Achaziah. So then what happens is Achaziah dies, and Ataliah decides that she wants to be the monarch. But she has a problem. She has grandchildren, and her grandchildren, Achaziah's children, are going to want to become king. So what does she do? She kills all her grandchildren. So therefore, there's nobody to vie with her for the throne. Pretty good. Now, so the story is, so one child was spirited away, and that's the child who's ultimately going to be made melech. That's where we started in the 12th chapter of Melachim. We started really in Ben Sheva Shanim Yehoyash B'molcha. This, he was spirited away by Yehoyada, and they hit him in the Beis HaMikdash, and she couldn't find him, so she couldn't kill him. And then ultimately the parasha tells us how they appointed him king. And Yehoyada put armed guards around him, a heavy presence of the Secret Service, that nobody was allowed to get near him. And then ultimately he takes Ataliah when he puts her to death. And therefore now he's cleared the way for Ben Sheva Shalom Yehoyash B'mocho to be king. Now he has clear sailing. Now she comes yelling into the Beis HaMikdash that this is a conspiracy, and they finish her off. Now what took place, then the Kugina goes on to describe the state of affairs at the Beis HaMikdash. We have to realize that Ataliah, Yahu, and all the ones that Ataliah, and all the ones that came from Achav, these were fanatical Yudei Dezor. To the extent it says that she and her descendants, they took the golden nails, they stole them from the Beis HaMikdash. And they used the Beis HaMikdash to worship Avodah Zarah. And in general, they let it deteriorate. This was not. So now, when the new king comes, when Yehoyada appoints, when Shava Shonim, when Yehoyash B'molchon, so he decides he has to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. Now the parsha is a little bit, it's confusing. And the Yanti, the Radak, I think has the very, I believe it's the Radak, is the clearest pshat. Initially it says that Yehoyada told the Kohanim to collect the money, and they should be responsible for repairing the Beis HaMikdash. But as usually happens in these types of scenarios, the money got collected and the Beis HaMikdash didn't get fixed. So Yehoyada calls him on the carpet and says, "What's going on?" So then they made a new deal with him. And that deal was that they wouldn't take the money anymore. The money would be made, he invented the pushka, and they made a big charity box with a hole in it, and you came to the Beis HaMikdash and you threw your money inside. And the Beis HaMikdash had its own offices that took out the money and counted it, and they're the ones that distributed the money to the craftsmen to keep the Beis HaMikdash in good repair. Now, in the first step in this story, what exactly happened? It sounds, and it seems a little bit from Yehoyada's critique, that we're dealing, who actually kept the money normally that came here? In other words, it sounds like the deal was that, listen, you collect all the money, and basically you fix the Beis HaMikdash, and whatever remains, remains to you. That's what it's, that's on the surface of it. But if you look further into it, it's pretty clear that the money that they were collecting was money of Hegdish. So it couldn't have been the deal. But rather the deal was that they collected the money and they had the responsibility. Listen, they ran the Beis HaMikdash, so collect the money and fix the place with the Beis HaMikdash's money. But what he thought initially, Yehoyada, that maybe they were dipping their hands in the till and that's why the Beis HaMikdash wasn't getting fixed. So that's why he called them on the carpet. But the reality was that there was, in fact, a dispute about how to spend the money. That's really what there was here. Why? They were, the Kohanim, wanted to be financially prudent. So until they gathered a large sum of money, they weren't willing to start investing in making the repairs in the Beis HaMikdash. So basically, they said, listen, we have to endow the Beis HaMikdash, and once the Beis HaMikdash is endowed, then we'll fix the place up. And Yehoyada was not of that mindset. He apparently held that he could raise enough money to fix the base, to keep the Beis HaMikdash running properly, and that consequently he doesn't have to establish a large war chest for the Mikdash, and the money should immediately be put to use. Now, one of the things that he did, and that's why we read it as the Haftarah for Parsha Shkolim, part of the money that he collected, it's spelled out in Divrei Hayomim, was from the Machzis HaShekel. And the Mefarshim say, not only did he collect the Machzis HaShekel of this year, but what had taken place in the era of Achav, Rachazia, and Atalia, these Chevra, that the people did not collect the Machzis HaShekel, and it would seem, in fact, that the Korban Tumid was bottled in those years too. They didn't bring the Korban Tumid. So the arrival of Yehoyash as the king is a restoration of the Korban Tumid. It's a restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, which is in a bad state of repair at this point in time. And what was his plan? Yehoyada did not, it was the Kohen Gadol, he was a man, he was a very practical man, he didn't have pipe dreams. You know, there are some people, you ask them, well, yeah, the money's coming, where is it? Because you never find it, it never comes. But Yehoyada was a very practical person. And he held it wasn't necessary to endow the Mikdash and collect a huge war chest, that he can raise enough money. Why? Because he called upon the people to bring Machzis HaShekel for all the years they hadn't brought the Machzis HaShekel to the Beis HaMikdash. So for all the years that there'd been no Machzis HaShekel, so he wasn't only collecting for 1 year. One of the things that he collected was a Machzis HaShekel for every year that hadn't been collected in the last many years. So this was the basis that it was able to raise a tremendous amount of money for the Beis HaMikdash. So we're dealing with Parsha Shkolim, with the Indian of Parsha Shkolim. That's part of what took place, what Yehoyada did. But we're also dealing, and I think this is critical in it being the Haftarah, we're dealing with the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash. That the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Tumid was bottled, the Beis HaMikdash was in a poor state of repair. They had to clean out the Avodah Zarah from it, renovate the place, and put it back to start working again. So I think that we read this Haftarah as not only a tale of what once was a Maisa, how the in the time of the Melochim, how they collected the Machzis HaShekel, but it's more than that. It's really thematic of what we are looking at in Machzis HaShekel. What's the Machzis HaShekel we're looking at? Not only did they collect it once, but we're going to collect it. What are we going to do? We're going to bring Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. We're going to build it. We're going to put it in proper order. We're going to clean off the Har HaBayis. It doesn't belong in the Har HaBayis. So in our notion of the Machtes HaShekel is not only referencing what once was, and once was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's also a perspective. It's pointing to what will be. And basically we're saying, listen, Rabbi Yisrael, we've been there before. It's one thing in Jewish history, it's hard to create something totally new. When you're around, it's almost 4,000 years from Avraham Avinu until today. Whatever could happen, basically, just about has happened. It's very rare that something could happen that never happened before. It may have happened a mighty long time ago, but it's happened. So, when we read this Haftarah, we tell us, listen, there was a time the Beis HaMikdash was smashed. They filled it up with Avodah Zarah. They didn't bring the Korban Tumah. The guys running the show were fanatical over the Avodah Zarah. And what happened? We came, we donated to the Beis HaMikdash, we put the Beis HaMikdash back in order, we threw out the Avodah Zarah, we were mechadish the Korban Tumah. We brought the people as a whole closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, which says in the story in the Novi. Says so he says that they brought the people when they appointed a king. They brought the people back closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He says, he writes, Parak Yud Aleph, it says, "Vayichrois Yehoyada es Abris," that he enacted a covenant between Hashem and the Melech and the Am, a three-way covenant between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Melech, and the nation. Lios la'am la'Hashem, there'll be an Am of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and the Melech and the Am, and the responsibilities of the Melech to the Am and the Am to the Melech. So what Yehoyada did was this was a phenomenal step against the Avodah Zarah of Achav. Is he made a bris, he brought the people to a bris, ben Hashem, uben HaMelech, ben Ha'om. He brought the people back, the restoration of Klal Yisrael to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and away from the Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. So, that's the context of this of the Haftarah we read in Parashat Shkolim. And that, Rabbi said, that's the essence. From this perspective, there's another perspective that we have to look at. From this perspective, that's the essence of Parshas Shkolim. And yeah, we live in a time and there's a lot of religious decadence, and the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist, and the Korban doesn't exist, and there's the Haravayas is used for whatever. But all of this, we're looking forward, it's all going to pass. It passed in the time of Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol. And it's going to pass again in our time. So that's, it's a hopeful look, this Haftarah, at Parshas Shkolim is a step in the redemptive process. Now, the differing perspectives will give us a window to a very, very difficult piece of Gemara. There are Gemara, we have wonder whenever there's a practical machlokes in things that are relevant regularly, how could there be a practical machlokes? So, you know, we need in each case to understand how it came to be, why it came to be, how it could come to be. So, there's a Gemara, and the Gemara is a phenomenal plea. Phenomenal. But Yoshua was already troubled by it, and he does not have really a solid answer to his problem. He wants to make a kim to the Gemara, is that a special case? Rishchoydesh Ador Choftes Amar Aleph. Rishchoydesh Ador Shechaliyah is B'Shabbos. Kerem Parsha Shkolim. Chaliyah is B'Toycha Shabbos. This is what happened this year. It's going to be Friday. Makdim Elisha Ovar. So the Shabbos before Rishchoydesh Ador, we read Parsha Shkolim. Umafsik of the Shabbos Acheres. And the next Shabbos is an off Shabbos. Bishniya and the second Shabbos after Shkolim is Zohar. B'shlishes is Por Aduma, B'raviyas is Chodesh Zelochem, and B'chavishes is after we hit Rosh Chodesh Nisan, after we read Parshas Chodesh, Chayzer and the Chassidra. We go back to the normal Seder. So Tanan Hosam, Be'echad V'ador Mashmim Al Ashkolim V'Al Akloim. Okay, so then the Gemara says, why do we Amashmiyan Ashkolim is Omar of Tevi, Omar of Oishi, and Omar Kro. In Parshas Tomid, in the Parsha of the Tomid, it says, what are we, Zeus Oilas Chodesh, on Rosh Chodesh, Zeus Oilas Chodesh, Bechotcho, the Chotche Ashor. Right after the Parshas Tomid comes the Parshas of Shabbos, and then comes the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. But here it says, Zeus Oilas Chodesh, Bechotcho, the Chotche Ashor. Omra Torah Chadesh, Behovei, Korban mitruma chadosha. You have to bring the korban from new funds. We came with the Nisan boy akruvei mitruma chadosha. Since we have to bring it during Nisan, is kadmu kadminan vikarinan bechad ba'ador. So we have to start from Rosh Chodesh Ador collecting keheichad leis shkolim the migdash. So that the shkolim should arrive at the migdash. So Rashi says, Elo Amra Torah Yesh Lo Chodesh Ata Tzorch Lechatshoy Ba'avos Oilas Tvidirum Vesofim Vetrum Chadosh. There's a month that you have to bring carbonos from the new funds. How do we know it's Nisan? How do you know? Because there will be no Rosh Hashanah. There will be no Shana Shana Minisan. There will be Rishon Olo Hu Lachem Lechotche Hashana. And here it says Zoyz Chodesh Chodesh Bechotche Lechotche Hashana. So that Zerah Shavu tells me that Zerah Shavu tells me that we are dealing with Nisan. So it comes out that Be'etzam, where the idea that we have to bring funds for the Truma Chadosh is where? Is in the Parsha that we read in Parsha's Pinchas. So then the Gemara wants to know how long you have to prepare for, and then the Gemara goes to the following. The Gemara asks a very strange question. My Parsha Shkolim. What is Parsha Shkolim? My Parsha Shkolim. What type of question is that? Go to Shul. Then ask the Gabba if they didn't know what he asked anyone if they know what's Parsha Shkolim. What would happen if I tried, I'll tell the Gabba to read a piece from Parsha Shmini for Parsha Shkolim. There'd be a riot. The people will say, what's going on here? We know what's Parsha Shkolim is in Kisisa. That's all. What's the big Asik? And in case the people don't know, go ask the Gabba, go ask the Rav. Nobody knows. It became a mystery. What's Parsha Shkolim? We only read it last year. So how can it be a mystery? What's Parsha Shkolim? Plea. Now, in case the question is not bad enough, the answer is even worse. Rav Omar Tzavos B'nei Yisrael Omar Marta Lehem Es Korban Ilachmi. You have to read that Parsha. I presume all the way up until the end of the Parsha of Shchodesh, what we read on Shchodesh, because that's the remes for the Parsha of the Truma Chadosha, is Shchodesh Shchodesh B'chotcha, with the end of the Parsha of Shchodesh. So we'll start from Tzavos B'nei Yisrael and read the whole lane that we read on Shchodesh. Okay, fine, Shangu, we don't read that. Ushmol Omar Kisisa. So not only doesn't the Gemara know what's Parsha Shkolim, my Shkolim, the Gemara now is a Machleikis, what's Shkolim. Rav says, read a totally different thing that we never heard of. Read the Rosh Chodesh Leinig. And Shmuel says, read Kisisa. I mean, it's bad enough the Gemara asked the question, but you couldn't even get one answer. So, Bishlom Adaman de Omar Kisisa, Haino de Korilo Parsha Shkolim, de Chsebe Shkolim. So at least it's called Shkolim because it talks about bringing Machtes HaShekel. And then the man de Omar is Korban Ilachmei. Midei Shkolim Ksivei Hossel. What do you call? How could you call that Parsha Shkolim? I read the Rosh Chodesh Laming many, many times in my life, but I never found a reference to Shkolim. So Mora says, Hossel, in. Time of my could Rav Tevi. As Rav Tevi said, in. So therefore, what is that? Those Oilas Chodesh B'Chodesh, the Chodesh Ashon. So, and that we learn Gzeira Shova from. We learn Gzeira Shova from Rishon Ulochem L'Chodshei Hashonu. So, there is a reference to the Indian of the Shkolim, a veiled reference. So Bishlam on the Yom HaTzavas B'nei Yisrael is Mechshom the Chesiva Kabbona Sosom Kudir Rav Tevi. So it makes a lot of sense, since what's the source? The source of this whole halacha is in Parashas Pinchas. So Rav says, since that's the source, and we're talking about the Shkolim and the Truma Chadosha, so that's what we're going to read. Where are we talking about Karbonos? The Machzor Shekel was for Karbonos. Shkolum Ladonim Ksive. Can the Tana Rav Yosef Sholosh Truma say Shabbos Beyach, Shabbos Beyach, Shabbos Ladonim, Ladonim, Shabbos Kabayas, Shabbos Kabayas. So now the Shaila is like this. The Shaila is, how did the Gemara not know? How was the Ramach Leikus? And furthermore, everyone agrees that where do we get the idea of the Truma Chadosha from? Comes from Parshas Pinchas. So how in the world is Shmuel telling me to read in Parshas Kisisa? You admit that without, why are we reading it at this time of the year? In Parshas Kisisa there's no remez to when it's supposed to be. So how do you know when you're supposed to do this? Because in the Pasuk goes, oh, that's Chodesh B'chotcha. So anyhow, you're agreeing with Rav that that's the source. So what are you reading in Parshas Kisisa for if this din is built upon the din that you're learning from Parshas Pinchas? There's more to share, but that's enough for now. Amod Negemar. So the Pnei Yeshua says, that, so I think Echatim Tzeregemar is talking when the Shchodesh is on Shabbos, whatever. So that's a story. But nothing, you know, it's not in the Gemara.
Why is it so inconceivable that there were two different opinions? They're both relevant. One has one side.
Well, what did they do last year, before Rav and Shmuel came?
Couldn't there be, different opinions and different arguments?
Oh, so the Shaila is why? Why should there be? What did the Tanoim do? They did something. We haven't stopped, right? Somebody must have known once what was going on. The Mishnah doesn't bring a machlaika, so they must have known what was going on. So how did it get forgotten? It didn't close down. The shul kept functioning every year. So where did it go? So I thought, Shad is like this, Rabbi Yisai. Yerushalmi in this sugya brings it. And I mentioned Shabbos, it's in Daf Yud Gimel, in the Gemara, in the Bavli. So there the Gemara says the following. Nor bring this Mishnah again. Omer Resh Lakish, Goloi v'yadua lifnei misha Omer v'hoya Eilam, she'osid homan lishko shkolom ha'Yisrael. Right, it said, Aseras Allah from Kikar Kesef, it's a machtis ha'shekel for each person. It's l'fikach, hiktim shikleim l'shkolom. So they gave shkolom before he gave shkolom. V'haynu disnan, and this is the meaning of the Mishnah, v'echad v'ador mashkim mashmiyam ala shkolom, ala klon. And in Yerushalmi, I believe, in the sugi itself, this maimer is brought. Oh. So there's a second reason for shkolim. And that reason has to do not with the Truma Chadosha, it has to do with Purim. Which is that we want to reference the shkolim before Purim. Because Purim is the time of Haman's rise and his defeat. So part of his defeat was through the shkolim. So we want to reference Parsha Shkolim before Purim for that reason. So the Chayr, I wanted a title like this. So we have two separate reasons for the Machtes HaShekel. One is its role in defeating Haman. The second is that in the Beis HaMikdash, we had a collect fund in Ador, so the Truma Chadosha was available to bring the Korbanos Tzibur in these. So I would suggest the following, that Kol Zman that the Beis HaMikdash stood, There's no shy, the Rav was right. That's what they read. That the din of the Truma Chadosha, that's what was relevant, that was Parsha Shkolo. The Shaila of the Gemara is a different Shaila. The Shaila is what happened after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now which reference should be the Ikar? Should the Ikar reference be the Truma Chadosha, or the Ikar reference be Haman? And the fact that we gave the Machtes HaShekel, we were mocked him the Machtes HaShekel to Haman's giving. The mocker of this din stems from Parshas Pinchas. That's without doubt. But now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so he's talking that Leon's right, that in the aftermath of the Beis HaMikdash, there were differing views of what should be done. So Rav said, listen, history goes on, unabated. If this was Parshas Shkolim until now, it'll stay Parshas Shkolim until we build the Beis HaMikdash again. And Shmuel and those that were like one that said, no. Yeah, we have to have it. Bechad Bador will mention it. That's a remes to the Indian of the Truma Chadosha. That's without doubt. But what's most important now is its connection to Purim. That's alive and well as we go through Jewish history, is that we have the schus of the Shkolim to fend off Haman and whatever, and all other such characters in history. So now we're coming to celebrate Purim and its message. In our context, Shmuel says, Parshas Kisisa does the job better than Parshas Pinchas. So that's what I wanted to suggest. That's why this Machlokes emerged now. And I think the other things, there's a Gemara earlier in Megillah, and also the Gemara is a Pella. And it may, in fact, swing on a similar point. The Gemara says that when one daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, that one was the Shmoneh Esrei written, as we know it. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, and there were Kamen Aviyim B'nayim, as the Rama writes, in the interlude, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, in that interlude they wrote the Shmoneh Esrei, and the Rama says the reason for it is because the people lost the facility to speak appropriately in Lashon Kodesh. So they couldn't daven properly. So they enacted the Shmoneh Esrei. So then the Gemara brings also a maimer that the Tana Shimon of Pekuli also made the Seder of Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says, what do we need Shimon of Pekuli for? Shimon of Pekuli was much, much later than Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. So where did Shimon of Pekuli? So the Gemara says, Shokhum v'chozor yostum. They were forgotten and they were reinstituted. So the kash is obvious, and I saw today that they bring the Ben Yehoyodo on the Agodas, asks it. He says, how did Shmoneh Esrei get forgotten? You know, the people are davening three times a day. What, just ask the guy, just tap the guy next to you and ask him what's Shmoneh Esrei. I don't think we have too many versions running around, you know. We have some minor differences, you know, Sfat, Ashkenaz, Ari, Chabad. But the basic Shmoneh Esrei, we all have the same, everyone ends the brachas the same, and we have the same, basically to say everyone has the same content in all the brachas. So you're going to come and tell me, oh, nobody knows what Shmoneh Esrei. All the clients are scratching his head, and Baruch Hashem, we went there, it's all the Noble Yosef set us straight. He said, now we know again what Shmoneh Esrei. So when Yehoyada wants to answer that the pshat is, Avadah, I knew the order of the brachas. Why they were put in that order, that was what was forgotten, and that's what Shimon HaPekuli was Mechadish again. But that's not Pashta Sagimar. So I think, and I have a Raya, I did not look now for the Raya, but I have a Raya, one of the Rishonim. The problem is that when the Beis HaMikdash was built, the whole Shmoneh Esrei was different. Look at all the brochas we have that are asking for the restoration of the Mikdash. So you obviously can't have those brachas. But in Tav B'Shoifa Godol L'Cheruseinu Hashim B'Shofteinu U'Yushalayim Mircho Tzemach, one of those would say, what shaychas do they have when the Mikdash is standing? Now we know in Nusach Eretz Yisrael, for example, instead of, we have on Yom Tov, we do a very strange thing. We don't end up Hamachzer Shechinos L'Tzion, we end the bracha in the days of the Birchas Koyanim Sh'oyischol V'adchom Yiron Avod. So that's, now, so the Goyin objected, in Nusach HaGroah and Eretz Yisrael, they do a Machzor Shechinos Abed Litzion. Where did that come from, this Shoyis Cholavad Chabir and Avid? It came from Nusach Eretz Yisrael. In Nusach Eretz Yisrael, the bracha ended Shoyis Cholavat Chavir Anavet. Now that's Poshet. That you say when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, you say Shoyis Cholavat Chavir Anavet. But when the Beis Hamikdash is down, then you're going to say Amachs Shchinos Letzion. So with Nusach Eretz Yisrael remains Shoyis Cholavat Chavir Anavet. The Nusach of Bavel is a Master Shechinos of the Tzion. So the Shaila is which one was supposed to use on Yontif. So the Goyin held to go to stick the Nusach of Bavli, and the Minagoyim was to do Nusach Yerushalmi on that day. So in other words, the Nusach as if the Beis Hamikdash was standing. So there's no question that the whole Shemoneh Esrei is a different, it's in one of the Rishonim. I don't remember here, or this Maimar Chazal is elsewhere. But the problem is that when the Beis Hamikdash stands, the Shemoneh Esrei is radically different. So now you had more than 400 years went by that the old Chazaras HaShatz, the old Shemoneh Esrei, no one said. Whatever they were saying in Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't this. So now that we're back in the situation of the Golus again. Uh-oh, so what do we do now? So somebody has to come along and tell her, you know. So this was 400 years gathering dust. And without the printing press, you know, you didn't, how many sedurim do we have that are 400 years old after the printing press? And without the printing press, who had a 400-year-old siddur? So all of a sudden, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And they realized, wait a second, there must have been some other tefillahs that you do when the Beis Hamikdash is not around. But it would be nice to know, but nobody's even at their great-grandfather had any idea, because their great-grandfather's great-grandfather wasn't around when they davened that way. So that's where Shimon HaPakuli came, and I think Shokum B'chozov Yistum, is that he had to bring them back, because while the second Mikdash stood, they went out of vogue, Ashman Esrei, they didn't daven Ashman Esrei. And as I say, Nidmali, that it's pretty much spelled out in one of the Rishonim, that during the second bias, that the Shemoneh Esrei went differently. So Al Kalpona, that's what I think is the machlokes concerning Parsha Shkolim, is in contemporary times, what's the Parsha Shkolim? So it seems to me that Lidaiti, when Mashiach's going to come, we're going to read the other one. We're going to go back again to Parshas Pinchas. We're not going to stick with the one in Parshas Kisisa that we read. So the Inyan of Parsha Shkolim is twofold. It's Inyan of preparing for the Binyan HaMikdash and the Gula Asida. And it's an Inyan of preparing for Purim that the Schus of the Machtos HaShekel, and as we gave it across the generations, preempted Schus in the attempt of Haman to pay for the slaughter of the Jewish people. He was preempted by the Machtos HaShekel. So Parsha Shkolim Rabbi Yisai is to address both aspects. What its role in the Purim story and its role in the restoration of the Mikdash, as we read in the Haftarah of Leah Shabbos from Sefer Baloch. Agud and Rabbi Yisrael. Tetzach Bell.
The Mikdash is working. Well, off or on?
Yeah.
Off and on. And off again and in. That's important.